And so, got a few minutes here. I'm going to do some reading, and just want to take you on a little journey here. Kind of, I feel like a journey that we're all on. It was, Steve said it clearly, as far as the ability to understand that what God is doing in our midst, as far as bringing us into a time of revival, which sometimes it seems confusing, because it's, for some people are thinking that God is angry, and thus all these things are happening all around the world as far as natural disasters and all kinds of other things. And yet at the same time, God is showing his mercy and his love on us, that he's actually reaching out to us and trying to help us understand how much he cares about us. And so I think I'm going to help us a little bit. I'm going to say that. I think what we're going to share is going to help as far as how do we understand the signs of the times today. What's going on into this place? I've been sharing throughout every week. It's been a crazy month as far as October for me. Beginning of October, I ended up being in Denver, the following week in New York, the following week in Oakland, and the following week in last week in San Diego, and here and the next week back in Denver again. And so it's just a lot of traveling, but nonetheless, I think the same impulse of everyone around, everywhere I'm going, it's the same concept, it's the same feeling. People are just wondering what's going on. And for some might think, well, hey, Alfred, you know, those messages or that theme was good last month, as far as when things seemed to be shaky and things were really going crazy. Now things are settled down, so let's just go back to life again. Let's go back to the way things were and things are. And I want to show you something out of Scripture that I believe God showed me. And let's see if God shows you the same. So in Matthew chapter 24, I'm going to do some reading here. It says in verse 1, Jesus left the temple and was walking away when his disciples came up to him to call his attention to its buildings. Attention to its building. Do you see all these things? He asked. Truly, I tell you, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came in privately. Tell us, they said, when will all this happen? And what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? Jesus answered, watch that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. Verse 10. At that time, many will turn away from their faith and will betray and hate each other. 11. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved. In verse 10 is where I wanted to really focus on. It says here in this version, at that time, many will turn away from the faith. Other versions use this term. In that time, many will be offended. As I started looking at that whole list of everything that was going on, there's a huge list of things. And we could probably do a checklist and start checking one after another of things that have already kind of happened. Now, obviously, these things have happened all throughout the world and throughout the history of the world. The message that I spoke when I spoke last here was emphasizing again that we don't know when he's coming. I don't know if Christ is coming back tomorrow, if he's coming back in 50 years from now. But as I've been studying this thing and looking at this, there's a list here. And you might think about, okay, this list is something that he's giving us warnings. Each one is a sign saying, watch for these things. And yet all around the world, these things have already been taking place. But what's happening is that they're happening more often and more intense as it's getting closer and closer. Last time I spoke here, I shared about how the 10 bridesmaids, how some were ready, some were not. And talking about then also how this is like a increase of what's to come. how it's going to come faster and faster. But one thing that stood out here that got me, when it says, in those last days, many will be offended. And I started thinking about that. And I'm seeing that actually happening everywhere. It seems like when you listen to the news or you hear, but there are people in the day that we're living today are being offended by everything. It doesn't matter what it is. They're offended. You say something, you do something, you just are, they're offended. And now it's being so vocal that they're being offended. To me, it seems like this part of this prophecy is being fulfilled. You see, as you read through, you wonder, okay, yeah, earthquakes and all that. Now you think about it. What can I do? Let's just take some of these down one at a time here. Again, it says, tell us, they said, when this will happen and what will be the sign of your coming, the end of age. Jesus answered, watch out that no one deceives you. Okay, let's stop right there. Can you look and see, has there been a lot of deception? Okay, there's been a lot of deception. So let's just go through these really fast, that no one deceives you. So what can I do? Can you do something about this? Can I do something about this? Yeah, I can do exactly what Steve said. Get closer into the Word. Get into in obedience. Understanding God's Word. Understanding what God wants for us. So I can learn how not to be deceived. So I can do something about this. Verse 5. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Messiah, and will deceive you. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Okay, stop there. Are we at that place? Okay. There's wars, there's rumors, big time rumors of what's going on. So we're at that place. So what can I do personally about that? Well, maybe there's some things that I can't really personally do about this other than be ready to understand that, you know, mentally. So I'm not taking a side that, okay, we may be going into war, so I'm not going to be shocked when, you know, there's something that's going to happen. I can be make myself aware of what's going on. I'm bringing to you right now, what can you do about each one of these signs? What can be done? How do I deal with this? Some of these, you might say, I can't do anything about this. It's just going to happen. And there are other things that you can. You'll hear wars and rumors of, well, I can prepare myself to be ready for that. But see to that you are not alarmed. There's the answer there. I don't want to be alarmed. Maybe you can't. War's going to happen, but I'm not going to be shocked by it. I'm going to be prepared. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation. In Greek, that's referred to ethnos, which means an ethnic group against ethnic group. It's not a country versus a country. It's an ethnicity, one culture versus another culture. And we're clearly seeing that in the news today, especially here in the United States. And it's something here. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines. What can I do about famines? Let me go back up. What can I do about ethnicity rivalry? What can I do about it? Well, there's a possibility that it may happen to me, but I, in return, don't have to return that same evil spirit back. That same prejudice may happen to me, but I don't have to return it back. And my friends, I'm talking to every one of us here as far as that it may happen to you. And it doesn't have to actually even refer to the idea of the color of your skin, men and women, age, disabilities. It could be all kinds of points of discrimination. And I could ask you to raise your hand if you've ever been discriminated, and I believe every one of us at one point will raise their hand saying, yeah, at one time someone looked down on me because of this or that. It doesn't have to always just be skin color. So what can I do about that? Not return evil for evil. It says there'll be famines. I think we have the story of Joseph very clearly in the Bible to help us concerning that. We know that there'll be tough times in the future coming. The story of Joseph is one where clearly he was raised to a position where he was able to help the nation of Egypt and the surrounding nations around, knowing that we're going to have good times. And those good times, prepare for bad times. Don't just live your life as though it's all going to be the way it is, because there are things. We're not in a perfect world. We know things are going to happen. So I can do something about famine, especially amongst my own family. I can make sure and prepare and take care. Now, I'm not talking about going out and filling your garage and your and you're, going crazy as far as preparing in that manner, like many people are trying to sell all kinds of stuff in that manner. I'm saying just for the sake of emergencies. What happens when your light goes out and it's not your fault? You wonder, did I pay the bill? Yes. There was an accident down the road. Power's out for 2 days or something. What do? How do you prepare for that? How do you prepare when you're going to lose everything in your freezer and everything in your fridge because it's out? Okay, let's keep going. Again, this is intro, guys. I'm going to share everything I can. I haven't even got to where I really want to preach to you about. There will be famines and earthquakes. How do you prevent yourself from dealing with an earthquake? I'll tell you straight out. You don't live where earthquakes are. Okay? You know where in the United States, if you want to be one of those that are living by fear and paranoia all the time, just the idea of like, okay, I'm going to go to a place where there's no earthquakes. I'm going to go to a place where there's no floods. I'm going to go to a place where there's no hurricanes. There's no tornadoes. There's no anything of anything. Where is that place in the United States? I could tell you. Shiprock, New Mexico. I'm telling you straight. Anybody been to Shiprock, New Mexico? Okay. You've been there? Okay. We're talking the desert. But you'll see historically that there aren't these things where there's no avalanches there. There's no blizzards. There's no, you'll battle heat, but not like Phoenix. I mean, there's all kinds of different, it's not saying it's the perfect spot. It's just probably, if you're trying to avoid all natural disaster, probably the safest spot. But if you've been to Shiprock, I used to pastor in Durango, Colorado, which was a couple hours from there. I'm telling you, Shiprock, it has its own beauty in itself, but to live out there because of fear. But when you walk with God and God orders your steps and you know you're supposed to be in Utah and you know that you're supposed to be here, it doesn't matter what's going to come. Your job and my job is not to run. Our job is to run to it and to run to say, okay, God, what do you have for me? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Let me keep going here. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. It says, then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and to be put to death, and you'll be hated by all nations because of me. A person says, I just want to live my life for God. I don't want to hurt no one. I don't want to do anything to offend anybody. I just want to live my life for God. And the way the world is going right now, just that very fact that you just want to live for God is going to offend somebody. Because there are people in the world today, the fact that you even state that you believe in God, one, or you're a Christian, two. Because you could say you believe in God, and you could be accepted because, well, we all believe in God in our own way. But when you clearly state, I'm a Christian, I believe in Jesus Christ, prophetically, the Word of God says here, you will be hated because of me. You will offend people because of me. In those last days, many will be offended. Just the fact that you say that you're a Christian, or the fact that you're taking a stand for righteousness, or you're taking a stand for something that's contrary to the way the world is going. I'm taking a stand. No, I got to do something about that. Or even just proclaim it within your family. Someone within your family, here we are at Thanksgiving time, and the holidays are coming. And you're going to sit at a table with families and cousins and aunts and uncles and grandparents and people, even your own parents. You're going to sit with people. And it's a wonderful Norman Rockwell picture when everyone's there and you see that smiling and everyone's passing the potatoes and the turkey and grandpa's there ready to slice the turkey. But we know that's not reality. Many times there's issues at the table. There's a big elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. Because if we do, if we say something, they'll be offended. I know within my family, we have to be careful. Oh, don't say anything. You don't want to offend them. You don't want them leaving. You don't want them mad. So how do I put myself, how do I take care of that? Yeah, I can go to another country. I can go to another state where there's no earthquakes. But what about how do I deal with offenses? How do I deal with that? This I could change. This I can change. I can't change if an earthquake coming or tornadoes coming or hurricanes coming. I can prepare myself, but this one I can change though. You see, I have to get to the place that when people do wrong to me, I don't fall into this category. That I don't get to the place where I say I'm offended. Because when I, as a man of God, I, as a Christian, I, as a Bible-believing person, get to the place where I say I'm offended, I'm basically saying, I don't forgive you. I'm not going to forgive you because you hurt me. And I'm going to get back at you because I'm offended. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm going to ignore you. I'm going to avoid you. And as long as I hold on to offense, I don't allow forgiveness to come through. You see, people might be offended by me just for the fact that I'm trying to just to live a life for God and I'm trying to help people. I don't know if you understand this or not, but the line of work that I do as a missionary, helping people within the community, I've told Pat this many times, I have got pastors that are offended by me. They're offended by me. Why? Because they said, Alfred, of course, if you feed them, they're going to come. Of course, if you give them clothes, they're going to come. Of course, they're offended by me and the idea they say I preach a social gospel. Which means that I'm trying to be their welfare system. And so I'm trying to help people, therefore, so they can come to church or they can come to Christ. In other words, I'm trying to bribe them to come to God. And that's the farthest from the truth. I'm trying to care for people and help people in the community, not to enable them to be poor and to be that way, but to help them in a time of need so they could rise up and say, look, thanks for that handout, but I'm going to now rise up because you helped me out. I can go on. I can move on. I can make something in my life. But I've got pastors that literally would tell me how they're offended by the way that we do ministry, by giving food and giving clothes and helping people in need. So it isn't just in the world's perspective, but we offend each other within the church. Not this church, though. Right? Not this church. But in other churches, people get offended by the simplest thing. You're sitting in my seat. Wait. We only sang two songs. We're supposed to sing three. And we can make up all kinds of crazy stuff in the church, why people get offended within the church. In those last days, it says people will be offended. I had to get into that. If I'm offended, that means I'm still not letting go of that. I'm not letting go. So, let me take you to the story just before he starts talking about this. Go to Matthew 18. For those of you that are writing down, I think this is probably going to be the biggest thing that's going to help you and me understand this. How do I prevent myself from being offended? How do I prevent myself from holding me back? You see, when I don't forgive and I don't let go, I put myself in bondage. By not forgiving the other person, I literally am not hurting the other person. I'm literally hurting myself. I've said this before, I believe some years ago here. I said that not forgiving is literally like yelling at your enemy and holding a bottle of poison and you drinking it. Like, I hate you. I won't forgive you. I want to take you to this story. A little bit of reading here. Matthew 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began to settle, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay you back everything. The servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. But when the servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. "Pay back what you owe me," he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, "Be patient with me and I will pay you back." But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all your debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart." When I read that, and then you read a few chapters later, it's really impacting, because look at this. This person was sent to be tortured, to be punished, not because of his debt. Not because of his debt. In reference to the story, it's not because of his sin that he went to be punished. The sin of his debt. But it was the sin of his unforgiveness. Those of you that, I was raised Catholic, and in our Catholic prayers, we will always recite the Lord's Prayer. And those of you who maybe know that, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name," right? And we go on and on and on. There's a part in there that says, "Forgive us our debts." Listen to that. "Forgive us our," this is Jesus teaching his disciples, "forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive our transgressors as we forgive my transgression as we forget our transgressors." If we were to measure really our life that way, the way Jesus says we should, I think we would be big time in trouble. "Lord, measure me according to the way I measure others." That's what that prayer is saying. Forgive my debt as I have forgiven my debtors. If I were to really live that way, I'm in trouble. Because in reality, then, I'm a hypocrite. "Oh God, please forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry." And he does. And then I go out and hold grudges. I go out and hold unforgiveness. The fact that I hold this unforgiveness, in that prayer, I'm basically saying, you should measure me by the way I measure it over here. In this story here, he says, "So it will be with all who, if you forgive, it will be forgiven." I believe that many of us here are not going to make it to be in glory, are not going to make it to be in heaven. It isn't because I was a drug addict and I was a gang member, and I stole, or I hurt, or I did this, or I killed someone. No, it's going to be, that could be all forgiven. What's going to keep us from that is that unforgiveness that we are not willing to forgive, and it's, which is sin itself. In those last days, many will be offended. And there's going to be that measuring. Why are you offended? Well, they hurt me. Well, they said something. They looked at me in a funny way. They cut me off on the freeway. You know, yesterday, we were at an outreach, and I saw a young girl who was a part of our ministry, Fabian and Eva, back in the day. She was part of our ministry, and I saw her, I recognized her, and I went up to her and I said, "So good to see you. Well, it's been some time." And she gave me a big hug and so on. She goes, "I want to introduce you to my daughter." Daughter's about 12 years old. And she was dressed up in some costume. And the daughter's looking at her mom and says, "Who are they?" "Oh, this is Pastor Alfred and his wife, Anna." and she looked at me, and then she looked at my wife. I'm talking about if a 12-year-old could stare someone down. I'm serious. It was clearly, okay, I'm going to use you. Thanks for volunteering. Okay, I'm going to use, it was straight out. She went like this. She just looked, and it was like total preteen attitude. It was, whoa. I mean, she just looked at myself and my wife up and down and just like, now I could have walked away there just being, I'm offended. You know, and I could have snapped back. I could have done whatever. No, I mean, I just like, hey, man. I don't understand. I'm just meeting the person. I'm saying hi to the mom. It's just a pleasant setting. And yet, this little girl, but do we easily get offended? Do we get offended or disrespected? Well, they didn't respect me. I've had to get to that place where I go, okay, Lord, who am I that I demand so much respect? Who am I that I demand so many people to look up to me or to think I'm something greater than I am? When I really come, you know what the story here is, that that man, he pleaded before God and God forgave him of all of his debt. The debt that he owed the master compared to what the man owed him is so much bigger. What God has done for me in forgiving me of my sin and forgiving me for all that I've done and all, he even knows what I'm going to do in the future. And it's like, God has forgiven me. Who am I to hold grudges? Who am I to hold offense? Who am I to think that I'm somebody that you should respect? Now, the fact that you would respect, that's great. But it's something for me to demand that respect. For me to demand that from you. Or for me to think you need to be this way with me. And I'm referring to think of that with you. Who are we that when we have been forgiven, that we need to be at that place where if someone offends us, forgive them. Wipe their debt clean. Let's not... See, notice how in detail the story says that not only that he did not forgive, he literally, the Bible says that he went up to him and started choking him, abusing him, torturing him. You know, many times when we don't forgive, we're doing that. We're holding that person. We're in our mind, maybe we're like, oh, I'm not going to let you go. And here it says, got to have mercy on them. Your kids have done you wrong. Your parents have done you wrong. Your neighbor has done you wrong. Your spouse has done you wrong. Oh, that person at work, my neighbor, whatever. It's like, God, yeah, I believe these are the last days. I believe. Again, Christ may come 50 years from now, 100 years from now, I don't know. But all I know is that everything he just read right there, everything I just read, everything we're reading, everything he's saying, these things are all happening, one thing after another. But that one about being, I don't want to put myself in being in the group of being offended. I don't. Someone says, Alpha, but you don't understand how much pain it hurt. My friend, please hear me. There is a difference between forgiving and trusting. Huge difference. Forgiving is instantaneously when I forgive you. But that doesn't mean I trust you. Trust is something that needs to be developed within time. So you can forgive someone. But doesn't mean that at that moment that you just go right back to the way everything was. No. You forgive them for what they've done to offend. And then you're cautious in your trust. And to making sure that, one, you don't get hurt again. Why are all these warnings there? So that we can prepare ourselves. What did it say there? So that you would not be caught alarmed. Every one of these are things that we can prevent ourselves from being shocked. Whoa, I didn't know this was coming. I didn't know this was happening. But the one about offense is something that we have to also really make sure that we don't fall into that category. Because if I fall into that category, my friend, I am possibly preventing myself. I'm preventing myself from ever going to be with God. Now, I know that may be contrary to some people's belief. Because some people believe, hey, I said the prayer, I'm going. Okay. Some people say, hey, no. I've done good works. I've done good things. I'm a good person. I understand. But if I read the scripture the way it says, if you even say the prayer and you're a good person and you've done great things, but you don't forgive, we got to read that word again. It says he went to be tortured because of his unforgiveness. I do not want to be in that place. I don't believe any one of us will be in that place. So why am I preaching this to you? So that you can share this with others. You're going to come across people this week that you know are offended, because it's contagious right now to be offended. So what do you got to say to them? Forgive them. But you don't understand. Forgive them. Forgive them to set yourself free. Forgive them to set you free. Trust, work on that. But forgive them to set you free. Be able to go from there. The Bible says clearly, we have the worship team come up. The Bible says very clearly that he who he sets free is free indeed. To be forgiven, to have mercy, it's huge. The Lord had mercy on me. The Lord was gracious to me. The version here says he had pity on me. He looked my way and helped me. Maybe there's people in your life that you need to forgive. It could start even in the room. Maybe because they're not here at the moment. But you can say, God, please help me to forgive them. If you find yourself, and I'm glad you brought that up. If you find yourself in a setting where you're around people that easily can influence you to do wrong, then yeah, use wisdom to keep yourself from that. They'll drain you faster than you can be filled. But if you know, as you walk with God, as you meet with him, as you're obedient, you read his word, you understand where he's going, you understand what he's saying, and you know that, yes, I can be a light in a dark place, then you go in there. But as soon as you see that the world is more an influence on you than you are to it, then yeah, you need to reframe yourself so that you don't find yourself just among the rest. That's why easily. Don't get offended, my friends. Someone cuts you off the freeway, just wave. Use all fingers, not just one. Okay? When someone stares you down like I got stared down yesterday, just God forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. When someone says something blatantly in your face, God, they don't know what they're saying. Forgive them. Forgive them, forgive them, forgive them. Why? So they could be free? No. So you could be free. Why? He forgave me, I can forgive.